Blog Talk Radio.
Bill Gatto is president and founding partner of Hispanic Digital Network, that's HDN. It's Hispanic Mark's web design, web marketing, and online advertising network division. Bill has enjoyed 16 years in the media industry, and while at the Miami Herald, he contributed to the team coverage of Hurricane Andrew that won the 1993 Pulitzer Prize for Public Service. During his tenure, HDN has become the largest internet advertising and hosting network of U.S. Hispanic newspapers, magazines, radio stations, and portals. He's going to join us and tell us all about it.
Para Mayarí.
Well, this morning we're going to be talking to Bill Gatto of Hispanic Digital Network. And he's been traveling and having quite a time. In any case, here he is.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Looking forward to the interview today. And I really appreciate Blog Talk Radio and Syndicated News having me on.
Thank you. And we're so happy to have you. It's just a wonderful thing. We were wondering, let's start with a few questions. This organization is large, and I see that you're very well connected with Yahoo. You have a very huge launch a couple years ago. I wanted to start with asking you to describe Hispanic Digital Network and how it got its start. Tell us about that.
Thank you, Ruthie. So Hispanic Digital Network launched in late 2003, and the story behind it basically is two colleagues of mine, Manny Ruiz, who is the founder of Hispanic PR Wire, and Christy Clavijo-Quiche of a sister company called LatinClips, back in 2002 and 2003. They were essentially looking for more places on the Internet where they could distribute their press releases. Hispanic PR Wire was a service that would basically distribute press releases to the Hispanic market. And at the time, and then LatinClips was a service that would monitor the pickup of those press releases to see, who ran the story or who reported something about, what the public relations people were basically issuing. And what they realized at the time was that a lot of Hispanic newspapers and magazines did not have a web presence. They didn't have a website. And this was back in 2002 and 2003. So they were a little bit behind, the curve, basically. And so the idea that they had was, well, what if we offered, publications like a free website, a free dynamic, top-notch website, and in return, they allowed us to stream in our press releases on these sites, essentially just kind of creating a market that didn't exist. Just because it didn't exist, they kind of had to create it themselves, basically. So I had known Manny for 20 years, basically. Well, at the time about 16 years, and he brought me in. I was working in radio at the time, in Hispanic radio in Miami, and I had a journalism background. I had an advertising background, so it seemed like it was a perfect fit for me, really. So the idea was, let's launch this network of Hispanic media websites, Hispanic newspaper websites, Hispanic magazine websites, and then from there it evolved into an advertising network. If we're building out all these websites for Hispanic newspapers and magazines, we can also sell advertising across that network of sites. So essentially, it's a network, an internet advertising network of Hispanic media websites.
Excellent. I didn't even realize it had gotten as big as it is now. Can you describe the Hispanic online audience and what opportunities do marketers have to reach them? Tell us about that.
Sure, Ruthie. And one other thing about HDN is that when we launched the company in late 2003, we started with 10 websites, and we've grown to 80 by now. So we've been around for about 4.5 years. And every year we launch about 10, 15 new sites. Now, as far as the Hispanic online audience, that's our specialty, essentially, reaching Hispanics on the Internet.
Hispanics are very, very loyal customers.
That's right. That's right. And so if you're a marketer and you're trying to reach, Hispanics that are surfing the Internet in growing numbers, we're, one of the companies that you can work with to, get your message out there to Hispanics that are surfing the Internet. And right now, let me tell you, there's it's growing every year by leaps and bounds. Right now, there's over 19 million, according to Comscore, which is one of the services that measures, the audience on the Internet. There's over 19 million U.S. Hispanics on the Internet that have Internet access. And in the last year alone, it grew about 2 million, and the growth of the Hispanic online audience outpaces the growth of the general market audience. So there's 19 million new Hispanics, and then you could segment that audience in different ways. For example, roughly half that number is, you know, sort of the English dominant Hispanic, people like me basically that are like second generation, third generation Hispanics that, you know, grew up in this country, so we speak English. You know, we speak both languages, we're bilingual, but we tend to use English more, for example. Then you have the newcomers, the Spanish dominance, the what they call the unacculturated, the ones that are new to the country, basically.
Correct.
So they haven't adopted the culture. They're starting to adopt the culture, the U.S. culture. So they've been around, you know, 3, 4, 5 years or so or less. But they're coming online as well. And I would say of the 19 million Hispanics that are on the internet in the U.S., I would say about roughly 4.5 million are Spanish dominant Hispanics, and then the rest are like bilinguals, basically people that are comfortable, you know, surfing the net in either language or using either language when they go online.
I don't even realize it half the time. I search in English, and I sometimes get a Spanish result. And since I am bilingual, I don't stop and think, now, which is this? I just carry on because I have that gift, that ability to have those two languages to work with.
That's right. That's right. You are you're Argentine, right, Ruthie? Your background is from Argentina or Puerto Rico?
Yes, and our families came in through Puerto Rico.
That's great. That's great. And along those lines, one of the important things about the Hispanic audience on the internet is that they, one of the intriguing things is that compared to the general market, they tend to outpace in terms of usage. There's like 6 usage areas where Hispanics outpace the general market. And I'll give you, you know, some examples, you know, like their use of social networking sites. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later if you give me a chance, you know.
Yes, please. That's very important.
When we talk about some of the trends on the internet, I'd love to talk about that because it's very exciting. But, you know, they outpace the general market in their use of social networking sites, in their downloading of music, such as iTunes, for example. Hispanics do that, you know, more than the general market counterpart, basically. In their watching of internet video and listening to like internet radio, such as this program, for example, or streaming audio. And also their use of Instant Messenger. And all these, like six, there's like 6 areas where they outpace the general market, according to some of the studies that have been done. So it's a very, for example, and some of the top activities they do online, you know, email, photos and videos, IM, they search for products to purchase. So again, if you're a marketer and you've got a product and you're not tapping into the Hispanic audience, you really need to get in there now, develop a web presence and market your services on the internet. Because again, this is a new audience that you could be tapping into, music downloads, social networking sites. So, just to give you some ideas on how you might be able to, you know, market your products or services to this this exciting new audience that's online.
My gosh! And what are the benefits of online advertising? I mean, in general.
Well, there's 3 big benefits, Ruthie, to online advertising. And you know, at HDN we can help you with understanding this in more depth. But you know, so just to mention the top 3 benefits: measurability, targeting, and the impact. And I'll give you a little bit of, a little bit of depth on that. One of the beautiful things about internet advertising or marketing on the internet is how measurable it is. You know, when you run a TV ad, for example, you're running a 30-second TV commercial. It's kind of hard for TV advertisers to know who actually saw the ad, especially nowadays with TiVo and all these, technologies that kind of block ads, for example.
Absolutely.
You don't really know who.
There's no way to measure it, actually.
It's really hard to measure. Traditional media, traditional mass media, basically. But with internet advertising, the beauty is that you can basically track so much. You can track how many people, saw the ad, how many people, clicked on it. You can track where they went after they clicked on your banner and they went to a site. You know, you can track their purchasing behavior, the time they spend on a site, for example, or on an ad, even. So online advertising, it's getting more and more sophisticated. The ads are getting much more creative and measurable, basically. You have a lot of ads that kind of expand, the early days of the late 1990s of just like a simple boring banner ad. Those days are long gone. But again, measurability, you can tell where the people came from, you can track through their IP addresses, what area of the country they were in. The ones that clicked on your ad, for example, where were, what part of the country, were they from, so that you can then better better target your campaigns, for example. Targeting, another beauty, you know, beautiful thing about the internet is that if you're targeting people in, say, Miami or New York, but you're not targeting people in, you know, Los Angeles, you can, through what they call third-party ad servers, you know, you can basically make sure that only people in those areas can see your ad. They call it geo-targeting. And then they have, at Hispanic Digital Network, we offer, you know, geo-targeting. We use a third-party ad server called Mediaplex, and we can, you know, make sure that your ad goes to the right area, and so you're not wasting your ad dollars on, you know.
I was just thinking that. I remember when I worked for FCC Recording Studio when I was a kid, I remember they would have to send radio commercials to all directions, and my gosh, I remember some advertisers were sending tapes to markets that really weren't even going to buy the product.
That's right. It was hard to, you know, you were basically doing, you know, what was called mass marketing. You're just kind of getting the message out there to a mass audience and hoping that it would reach, you know, and knowing that you were going to have some, you know, some excess there, some wastage of the message to the wrong audience. You know, but with internet, again, you can if you get the right ad on the right site with the right targeting parameters, you can really hit the right audience that you're looking for, and that's the beauty of the internet. So again, measurability, targeting. Go ahead.
There's no waste of time, and there's no waste of a resource. You're not wasting advertising dollars.
That's right. It's a lot more efficient. So that you're, again, you're not wasting your, like you say, your advertising budget on the wrong audience.
When you can track it, there's also more accountability.
Exactly, and that's a big trend right now in the industry, and not just, you know, advertising, but also in public relations, where you know marketers want to know where, you know, how, you know they want to see accountability, they want to see measurement, they want to see metrics. How did my ad dollar, you know, perform? You know, if you know, what kind of, you know, return on investment did I get for my marketing initiative? You know, the days of just kind of blanket throwing money out there and you know, not worrying about, you know, exactly what kind of ROI you got, those days are long gone.
Days are over, yeah.
Yep.
So now, what are some of the reservations that marketers might have about online advertising? Do you know of any?
Fear of technology. A lot of people, they're in a comfort zone, basically. You know, a lot of the ad agencies, they still don't understand. Again, you have to remember, the internet has been around maybe, you know, 10, 15 years max. It's still a new baby. It's still kind of in diapers. It's certainly come of age, basically. It's sort of a teenager. You know, if I had to use a metaphor, you know, the internet's sort of a teenager right now, a young teenager. So we've figured out what it's good at, basically, compared to 10 years ago in the late 90s, right before the internet, you know, bust. A lot of the reservations are basically, well, that's internet, that's technology. I don't get it. I feel safe, you know, running my TV spots. I understand that. I've been doing it for, you know, 50, 60 years. You know, radio spots, TV spots. So there's a bit of a distrust of the internet because it's technology. And I think the internet bubble of 2001, when that burst, that kind of scared a lot of marketers away a little bit. But what rescued the internet in 2003, starting in 02, 03, was basically search advertising, like, you know, on Google, for example. You know, where you
absolutely
now, like what they call contextual advertising, where now, mm-hmm, you can basically purchase a keyword, bid on a keyword. And that way, the ad only appears to someone who's actually searching for that type of word, basically. So that began to save the internet. And what's happening now, really, is that display advertising is on, you know, it's back, and it's coming back strong. And what I mean by display advertising is, as opposed to contextual word advertising or keyword advertising, display advertising like banner ads, basically. It's on the rebound right now because.
But they're so much more sophisticated now. I mean, they have so much technology behind them. They have a lot of flash and intro and waves, so that they're coming in beautifully with, you know, gorgeous audio. The banners now don't compare with the banners 8 years ago.
You're absolutely right, Ruthie. Everything you just said is absolutely right. In the late 90s, it was like a simple, boring banner ad. This is like a simple graphic, you know. Now it's like they're very, what they call rich media advertising. Rich media meaning, you know, very flash, multimedia type type ads that they can expand if you roll your
And they're interactive too.
And very interactive, very measurable. They measure how long you spend kind of, you know, on the ad. You can watch video and audio. And also, you know, they're also much more polite than they were in the late 90s. If you remember the late 90s, the whole scourge of what they call pop-up ads, where people just
Oh my gosh. Aspirin time.
Oh my God. And then, you know, people started basically, you know, using pop-up blockers because they were just so annoyed. But, you know, the ads would just kind of appear on your screen and stay there for hours and, you know.
Take
just,
over the machine or freeze the screen until you bought
screen.
Something.
You remember those days.
Oh my.
We all have pop-up stories basically from the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays with rich media, it's all about polite ads and basically giving the user the power to initiate the audio or the video on the ad. You know, so it's a whole different. It's a much
initiate
more polite,
it or turn it off.
Yep, yeah.
It's giving you the option.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and if it pops up on your screen, it'll be there maybe 5 seconds, and then it'll kind of like, you know, it'll move gracefully to the side and get out of your way. You know, it's a much more polite game because marketers realize, you know, they don't want to like you don't want to annoy people. You don't want people to associate, you know, negativity with your ads, basically, because then it hurts the whole industry. So now the whole game is a lot more polite, a lot more sensitive to the consumer, because they're in control, really. You know.
And I remember that some of the marketers would have tremendous lyrics and music and very loud intros, and I used to beg them 8-10 years ago. I used to say, you know, please don't put that on there, because a customer of mine who might be wanting to buy my product or my service, they may be at the office at 11 a.m. or 2 in the afternoon, and the last thing they need is for their supervisor to hear hippy hoppy hamburgers or something, some nonsense like that, and the boss is giving them the eyebrow, you know, what are you doing? This is work time.
Yeah.
And it took another 5 years before they got the message and used those little clips so that you can shut down that music.
Yeah, if you're a marketer, you don't want your consumer to lose his job or her job, right?
And you don't want your consumer to offend the workplace. You want
That's
it right. to be as quiet as possible. I don't like it when an ad is so blaring that it attracts attention to the screen. It should just be quiet, quick, and let them pay for their service and go.
And you know, along those lines, Ruthie, at Hispanic Visitor Network, our policy, you know, we have, you know, terms and conditions, and one of our policies is that when it comes to, like, multimedia advertising, it has to be user-initiated audio and video. You can't just run an ad on our network of sites, you know, with the, like you say, the music coming at you and blaring at you without you kind of controlling whether you want to hear it or not. So
the customer can choose when it comes on the screen, is what you're saying?
That's right.
Beautiful.
It's a much more sophisticated, polite game now than it was 10 years ago. So again, the internet kind of grew up. It used to be, I always kind of describe it as the wild, in the 90s, it was like the wild, wild west, basically. There were, you know, nobody knew what the rules were because there were no rules. It was like a brand new medium. It had no laws yet, you know. It was a lawless cyberspace, basically. And people were doing all kinds of crazy, getting away with all kinds of crazy things, you know.
and it wasn't getting away with anything, actually. Laws had not been written in relation to the internet and what we were doing at that time.
And you
when
were there,
I
Ruthie.
Began,
you were one of the pioneers, so you know.
Yes, I was. And I remember that I used to ask my lawyer, find out how you can help me get this program done and find out if there are any laws that rule and govern it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that we can go through it. And sometimes I actually said to my lawyers, find out what the fine is, because if it was $2,000 or $3,000, it was worth it. Pay the fine and let's just do it. And that was accepted. It wasn't the Wild Wild West so much in that they were still writing law. Even the legislatures didn't know how far reaching the internet would become or how dominant it would be in our homes. I know people, myself, for instance, I'm online all the time looking either for business or learning. I take webinars all the time.
Absolutely.
It's so helpful. Instead of going to Chicago to see a program, I can go online and participate in the program as though I were there. The internet has taken over everything. My Spanish class, I teach a lot of it online now.
Mm-hmm.
To people from Germany, from Chicago, I'm not going to list all the countries and places, but from anywhere and everywhere, they just have to know what time. Is it Eastern Standard, Central, what is it? And they show up. They show up every week.
Ruthie, I would love for you to advertise your Spanish classes on HDN.
I might do that.
I'm plugging HDN again, so. Sorry.
Oh, no, no, you should. And
but I think
it would be
like a really good fit for our audience, actually.
No, it's extremely important, and I need you to announce your phone number. Most important.
Absolutely. It's 305-971-7989, and I'll say that slowly again. For Hispanic Visitor Network, it's 305-971-7989. And really, one of the I don't know how much more time we have, but one of the flip sides of everything you were just mentioning about the kind of the wild wild west aspects of the internet is that on the plus side, you know, I think people forget that because it is a new medium, you know, we're all pioneers, we're all learning how this works. We're building it as we go. We're making the rules. We're seeing what works and what doesn't work. So the beauty of that is that, you know, you can still take a lot of chances and experiment with all kinds of things for a very low, you know, without a lot of investment. You know, it's not like you're spending $1 million on a 30-second Super Bowl ad, you know, here and risking all that money. With the internet, you can do all kinds of, campaigns for very little budget. You know, for even $500, you can experiment, you know, with an ad on the internet, or $1,000. And try something new. Try a new audience on the internet. Try a new technology. Try a new campaign. And in fact, a lot of people actually use the internet. A lot of marketers are now using the internet as a beta ground for other for other campaigns that they'll do later on TV and radio. They kind of test it a little bit on the internet. Because
There's a lot of beta testing online.
Right.
And then a year later, I see it right on the network.
That's right.
And it's the cheapest way to go, rather than having to put together 400 people for each try and for each pilot.
Right. And the internet advertising, the advertising agencies, the traditional advertising agencies are coming around. They're getting much more sophisticated. What has been happening on the internet is that a lot of the traditional agencies are buying up sort of what they call the interactive ad agencies, the ones that are specialists on internet advertising. And beefing up their I'm a vegetarian. I shouldn't even be using that word beefing up, but they're improving all of their interactive advertising capabilities. So beefing up is
exactly what it is. They're strengthening it. Absolutely.
That's right.
And by the way, I anticipated that what you have to say was extremely important to so many people because they need the service, and I just happened to make the show longer to accommodate the extra half hour that I knew you'd need.
Okay. Do I have another 2 minutes?
Yes, you do. You have another half hour. Please go ahead. What I was going to do is talk to you about everything you could, and then when you couldn't, then we'd go right back to the wonderful Cuban song by the Social Club.
Oh yes, that's a wonderful.
That we opened with.
Wonderful documentary. Yes. So, did you want to continue with your question?
Absolutely. I want to know the hottest trends on the internet right now, and how can marketers take advantage of these trends? Tell us about that. That's very important. We need to know.
Basically, there are two.
The latest and the greatest. Yeah. I want to know it all.
The two hottest trends right now on the internet are video and what they call UGC, or user-generated content. And I'll give you a perfect example of some of these things. The reason why video is so popular now on the internet is because, you know, back in the 90s, a lot of people didn't have broadband connections or high-speed internet connections yet.
Correct.
They were on. You remember the old dial-up days, you know, with AOL and the screechy sound when you would try to go online. And actually, there's a lot of people still using dial-up, but it was hard to kind of watch a video if you were on dial-up. It was an annoying experience, basically. But now that there's so much, I think it's yesterday I read in the Wall Street Journal, I think the internet, the high-speed internet penetration in the U.S. is now at about 55%. So again, more than half the U.S. population, and that includes Hispanics too. They're on par there with high-speed internet access. Has high speed, so now you can kind of do a lot more with video and flash and audio streaming and even blog talk radio, for example. But the fact that people have high speed internet allows more people to enjoy shows like this. So that's why you're seeing a lot more video online.
I see it everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It, And it's also a lot cheaper now to kind of host the video and do the data transfer and and edit the video, and kind of convert it to like Flash video, for example, which is like one of the best mediums for it. So in a second, I'll give you the perfect example of these two trends and how they came together, basically, in one website. User-generated content. You see a lot of websites now, like MySpace.com, Facebook.com, LinkedIn, YouTube. The whole idea is that people themselves, and the reason they call it user-generated content, is that it's not the Wall Street Journal posting the content or CNN posting their, where they have a team of reporters and writers that get paid to write the content, and it's kind of expensive to create quality content on the anywhere really. But the whole trend with user-generated content is that the people themselves are kind of uploading all their own content. If you look at MySpace, for example, people themselves upload their own blogs, they upload their own audio, their own photos, their own videos. They showcase all their friends, they invite people. So basically the users are the ones creating the content. MySpace.
Yeah, I'm on MySpace with a dual page. It's almost a mirror site of my site here in Blog Talk Radio.
What is your MySpace page?
Everything I do, I call it Syndicated News. It's one of the first domain names I purchased when I was a domain name entrepreneur. When I was, I used to buy them raw for $3 or $4 and sell them for a different amount to corporations. Anyone who wants to know about that, it's all over the web. That's one of the difficulties of the internet. Whatever happens, happens, and it's there forever. But in the sense of this program, the wonderful thing that happens is that we're talking about all of this type of marketing ability, the skill, where to go, what numbers to call, what websites. And this show is not going to go away. It's going to stay here. And when someone does a key search, searches for your name, for HDN, for Hispanic Digital Network, anything that we've put together here in the keywords or in the actual build up our small blurb, that will be researchable, and people will be able to hear the show again and again and download it as well.
That's right. It's all archived there, and that's one of the beauties, one of the beauties of the internet. Just the ability to archive content by and search it, through keywords. Again, and moving forward, most of the content will be basically available and easily searchable. If you think back, and one of the problems that Google's having right now is basically what they call the invisible web, basically. Like, there's a lot of content out there that is not, if you think back before the internet, look at libraries, for example, there's all this content, books and writings from, hundreds of years in the past, and it's all kind of in paper form. So it's difficult for the Google spiders to crawl that stuff, So they're looking for ways to kind of what they call digitize all that content so that people can search it online. But with a new show like this, Blog Talk Radio Syndicated News, again, you're creating this whole new digital content that is going to be searchable and archived. So you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's one of the beauties of the internet. And if you're a marketer, think about the possibilities. You really, at the very least, you should have a website.
Oh, at the very least. And right now I'm learning how to market a specific, even one zip code region. I'm going to learn about that heavily because I'm going to be using it within the next year. And I want to market to a specific region. Region. Not, further than a specific location. And that's where my focus will be in my free time. I'll be studying that and focusing on getting to that audience and reaching my market.
Absolutely, Ruby. And also one of the challenges that marketers are facing, with the rise of user-generated content, for example, is how do they, given that now the user is in control on the internet, basically, it's not a passive medium. Whoever's going online is actually proactively looking for something. They're looking for information in there, and as you say, like that kind of, by zip code, that kind of localized searching, because people want to, they want to go to a store that's near them, or a place that's nearby. They don't want to go to another state, but so they're going to search it online first, see what's in the area, and then they'll go there to buy the product. But for example. So again, yeah, localized search, very important. So it's more important than ever for any company of any size, any marketer, to have a web presence. And you know, just having a simple web page, even if it's a MySpace page, you know, with information about your company, that is so, that can boost your sales, because people are going to be searching for keywords, you know, your city, the type of service you have, and if you're not one of the first results that comes up when people search that, you know, your competitor might you know, get ahead of you, basically. And just real quick, as far as the two hot trends of video and user-generated content, the site that captures that beautifully, perfectly, is YouTube. Think about YouTube. It's a site where everybody just uploads their own videos. You know, again, it's video and user-generated content. There isn't, you know, Rupert Murdoch is not, you know, basically creating videos to put on YouTube. It's everybody out there. You know, you, me, you know, everybody kind of uploading their own videos. So what have we done at HDN to kind of harness, just to give you an example of how marketers and companies are harnessing?
Yes, that's exactly what I want you to talk about.
Yeah, so we...
You've got time. Please go ahead, take your time.
Yeah, so, you know, when we started back in 2003, we were basically building, you know, kind of dynamic, you know, database-driven websites for, you know, with cut-and-paste technology, helping Hispanic newspapers that were already established on the print side, you know, to kind of leverage that content on the internet, you know, by giving them these powerful sites. But we didn't have you know, what we're doing now is basically adding more social network, you know, basically user-generated functionality to the sites, adding more video to the sites, and like you say, you're seeing it everywhere now. So what you have now is basically traditional print newspapers or print publications that are able to expand their content coverage or their offerings on the internet through video interviews, for example. And I'll give you a perfect example. Boom Online is one of our member sites that have been with us for 4 years now. Boom Magazine is like, they're sort of like the Rolling Stone magazine of the Hispanic market.
Correct.
Imagine, if you will, a Rolling Stone magazine, but in Spanish, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's boomonline.com.
I get some of my ideas from Boom to know, you know, when I'm looking at music, and I got some ideas about reggaeton. And
right.
I found kids right nearby in two towns over, Geneva, New York, which is near here.
Yep.
And
yep.
That's who I interviewed, and I thought, well, this will just kind of sit here. And it's one of the most listened to programs in my list of programs.
Yeah,
it's
reggaeton,
amazing.
It's a huge trend, right? It's a huge musical trend. It's sort of a combination. It's sort of the a movement that kind of started in Panama and in Puerto Rico. It's sort of like Hispanic hip hop, basically, you know, but with its own kind of rhythms and variations on the Afro Caribbean rhythm, basically, or the hip hop
mm-hmm.
rhythm. So yeah, it's it basically hit big with artists like Daddy Yankee, for example, or Tego Calderon, you know, very big movement right now among Hispanics, you know, the whole reggaeton, hip-hop movement. Yep, absolutely.
I recently interviewed two kids, well, one of the brothers, and they've gone into production, Kiko and Caco, and I was impressed. Well, now they all have stage names. Kiko and Caco, they're twin brothers of all. And they're reggaeton performers, and now they've gone into production. They're doing quite well. I'm very impressed with them.
That's great.
When we're talking about, you know, value-added services, I remember when I began way back in 1996, I was thinking, how can I beat out my competitors? And I thought, free hosting. I used to register domain names and dress them up, and I realized that the majority of the people that bought, you know, registered domain names through me didn't have a website. So I actually went and got one of those how-to for dummies and started making web pages for people and charging them even more for that, value-added services.
That's great. Yeah, you were.
But the hosting, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we had a domain name company that offered free hosting? And that's what I built. Domain Avenue actually had free hosting, and it remains so today. Well, now I've since sold it, and it's in Hong Kong. But that was its gimmick. Its shtick was to have that free hosting. Just register the domain name. Everything else is free. And people love that. People love that.
And that's very much our model at Hispanic Visitor Network, Ruthie. Essentially, again, we offer free, like a free web hosting, for a free site, free hosting, free third-party ad serving access, so that they can serve their advertising on the site.
Do you handhold your clients?
Yes.
Beautiful. I love that. I love customer service. I find that I can serve a bad meal to someone if I serve it to them with grace and a smile. Somehow the food doesn't seem so bad anymore. You know what I mean? So I absolutely believe in customer service. That's extremely important.
And if you have a good meal and you handhold, then you've got an unbeatable combination there, basically.
Exactly. So you do handhold a client if they need your help. You're going to walk them through it and they can reach the office.
Free tech support. And now, yeah, absolutely. And now,
beautiful.
And Ruthie, we got acquired, Hispanic Visitor Network, Hispanic PR Wire, and Latin Clips, the three sister companies. We were acquired by PR Newswire in January of this year. So now PR Newswire is investing a lot of...
Congratulations!
Well, thank you. It's been very exciting. And it's exciting to see HDN getting more funding and so that we can grow it out and be able to provide even more handholding and better tech support, better websites, better technology, and a bigger sales force, for example. So we're actually in a very exciting time right now for Hispanic Visitor Network, growing it out and improving our services.
I was impressed. I was on Telemundo, and I was looking for something, and I wound up in Yahoo. So I thought, okay, no, this has got to be wrong. So let me go to Televisa, and I did it again, and I wound up in Yahoo again. And then I looked at the bottom to see who's creating this, who's done this, and it was you. It was you.
Which HDN. Site was that? Which site did you?
The Spanish television stations.
Okay.
I was just looking for Spanish television, and I was looking for a name of an old actress. But every time I started searching, I would wind up in Yahoo in Spanish, Yahoo. And I was thinking, my gosh, this is so quick. Now I have dual language search,
mm-hmm.
and it was instant. And that's when I started learning about HDN. Before then, I didn't know much about HDN, except I figured you were a technology firm, but I didn't realize how you had sewn all these magazines and these portals and these radio shows and TV shows. And by the way, the websites are kind of state-of-the-art, very nice and clean lines. They're very fast moving. I appreciate that.
And they're getting even better, Ruthie, because we, again, some of the sites that you see on our network, we've had some of these designs since like 2004. So some of the original members of our network, the early adopters, basically back in 2003, 2004, were using basically a design that was kind of like 800 pixels wide. And what's happening now on the internet is you see a lot more. Sort of wider websites, basically. They're like 1,024 pixels wide. So I don't know if you keep up with basically the design, like internet designs, you'll notice that sites are getting wider. And an example would be, Blog Talk Radio. Your site is very, again, it's 1,024 pixels wide. So that's another big trend on the internet, wider designs, horizontal navigation, basically. So at HDN, we're basically incorporating a lot of these new design features into our sites.
So what's on the horizon for HDN? What's coming up?
Well, I kind of already alluded to it. Now that we're part of PR Newswire, along with our sister company Hispanic PR Wire and Latin Clips, we're basically improving all of our services, improving our technology, adding more web, what they call Web 2.0 functionality to all of our websites, better designs, making them a lot more attractive. And kind of getting away from, those 2003, 2004 type of designs, which were popular at the time. But, the internet has grown. It keeps growing. It keeps improving. And we definitely want to continue to be pioneers, basically, in not just in terms of technology, but in terms of design architecture, basically. So again, improving our site designs, improving the functionality, adding more video and community social networking components to our sites, helping the publishers basically monetize their web ventures and their web presence, helping them develop new revenue streams and to take advantage of all the exciting things happening on the internet. That's our mission, basically, to help traditional media monetize and grow from the Web 2.0 resurgence, basically. And the other movement now is that, you know, when Hispanic Digital Network started out, our focus was primarily Hispanic newspapers and magazines, like print publications. But now we, over the years, we've also worked with radio station portals, television portals, entertainment portals. So we're kind of branching out beyond just newspapers and magazines and working with television stations and radio stations. To this day, there's a lot of, you'll notice the same trend or the same pattern. A lot
I
of
see that.
Hispanic cable TV stations, for example, don't have a website. A lot of mainstream cable stations don't have a website. So there's a real need to help to assist traditional mediums to understand the internet and monetize it, because they have a lot of great content, particularly TV stations. They have a lot of video content, and video is so hot right now on the internet. So they really should be kind of developing some kind of a presence on the internet. And it doesn't have to be just it's not about, just repurposing their traditional content on the internet, because that's not necessarily the best strategy. You don't just want to kind of, rehash whatever you're doing offline and put it online. It's really about, if you listen to some of the experts like Jack Trout, for example, the marketing gurus, like the positioning gurus, they'll tell you that the idea really is to create whole new experiences and to engage new audiences through the internet by creating new experiences. So what you'll see oftentimes is Hispanic on the mainstream side, some newspapers have kind of gotten hip to the idea of not just creating a website for your newspaper, but creating like a city portal, basically a gateway, what they call like sfgate.com is the official portal of the San Francisco Chronicle, for example.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the Miami Herald just launched miami.com. So they have their newspaper site, but they also have kind of like a city gateway where people can go and look for, like you were saying earlier, localized information. Because everybody essentially wants to know what's going on in their city. Online, they want to go online and find a place where they can figure out what's going on in my city. These are some of the new things on the horizon for us. Basically, improving our technology, our sales, improving how we help create new experiences on the internet by working with traditional media such as print, radio, TV, magazines, etc.
That's excellent.
I hope I answered your question.
Oh yes, you did. No, I'm very interested in that because I've been asked that question by so many. That comes up, what's going to be happening next? What do you see happening within the next 10 years? Or can we see that far yet?
I guess Web 5.0 at some point. Right now we're right in the middle of what's called Web 2.0. And for those of your listeners that may not be familiar with the idea of Web 2.0,
explain it.
Yeah, it's essentially this sense that the internet came back. Basically, it was reborn. It found its identity, what it's really best at doing.
Advertising, marketing.
Absolutely. Web 1.0 refers kind of like to the old dial-up,
Yes.
Where there were all kinds of limitations, and the internet was experimenting and doing all kinds of things because it just didn't know. It didn't know what it was. It didn't find itself, Roy Williams.
When I started on the internet, and most people didn't even know what it was in the 1996, 1997.
Right.
I literally went door to door. I got so many of clients right from my building, right where I lived. And
wow.
I would, and if I needed to canvas an area to find out what they needed, I actually carried, in New York City, you carry that. So it's you go to the supermarket and you're buying locally, so you have a little cart on two wheels,
mm-hmm.
a little shopping cart. It's very common in New York City and Chicago. And I would take it and fill it with flyers and actually go all over my neighborhood for blocks and blocks and blocks, distributing my own sales material. I mean, I did it all the time, and people would ask me, you own this company. Why are you doing that? Why don't you pay some kid? You know why? Because it was my face and my handshake. That was the reason they came back again and again, because they actually met a human being who cared about the fact that they wanted a website with little bells on it because her daughter was getting married and she wanted to have all the guests put the gifts through this website and she wanted a merchant account so they could go right to Sears. And we were doing that when people didn't even know that it existed. And by the way, we didn't have technicians. I was using one of those books of how to do this. I was just trying to learn as we went. That's how
Ruby,
we started.
On behalf of Hispanic Digital Network, I would like to honor you, you know, as a true Latina internet pioneer. I mean, you were, you know, I mean, you're going back to 95, 96, you know, which is truly remarkable, you know, and
okay, you made my face get red. Go ahead.
I mean that sincerely. And let me ask you, what was this? I mean, because again, I didn't jump in until maybe, you know, 99, 2000, you know, where I got my first, you know, AOL account, you know, in early 99, basically. So you were like 3 years ahead of me, basically. So let me ask you, what was the first sign for you that made you say, you know what, I need to really invest in this, and this is going to be big? What was the first?
I see trends before they get here. I watch the news and see what's happening in Asia, and I watch what they're wearing, what the kids are wearing in Tokyo. What they're wearing in Tokyo today will be wearing in Chicago a month from now. Everyone in the, you know, in the U.S. thinks, oh, no, this is our trend. We made it up. You know, we created it. Nonsense. It starts from east to west, and I see it again and again in business, too. I see it again and again in business. When I was in Japan, I remember that they didn't have receptionists. But I would say a high school graduate or you know, a young kid fresh out of high school answer the phone. They don't allow that. They had middle managers with some authority answer the phone calls that came in from the public. You know what that did? That eliminated that customer from having to speak to five people to get an answer of a yes or a no.
Mm-hmm.
They were already speaking with someone of authority who could fix their problem. And I was thinking, what tremendous customer service. And I looked under the desk of the actual reception area. First of all, they were middle managers, mostly men in Tokyo. And in addition to that, under the desk for walk-in traffic, they didn't have pamphlets and, you know, pencils. They had breath mints. They had mouthwash. They had ladies, you know, sanitary items. They had underarm deodorant for men. They had hairspray. They had tissues. They had towels. They had every possible thing that can happen to a human being, nose spray, eye drops, sunglasses, so that when they came to the desk, that manager was already trained to take a look at them and see what they needed. Oh, gee, ma'am, you look a little parched. Here, let me give you a cold drink and hand them a bottle of water. I was thinking, what great customer service. And that's what I did with my company when I started. I would ask them what they needed, how they wanted it to look. And I would go door to door to businesses in the neighborhood. And sir, you really want to use that logo? Let me see if I can paint it for you right now with the Crayola. And I would do it right there standing. Okay, how about, would this be good enough? And of course they'd say it was good enough because at the time they didn't even know what internet was. And the idea that they went on the internet and there was their presence. And these were little shops along 2nd Avenue and 47th Street. I lived about a block from the United Nations. And I remember when I would watch, they would have the demonstrations. Sure enough, I'd grab my little cart, and I would walk. I lived at the 47th and 2nd building where so many ambassadors also lived, and I would grab my little cart and go right into the middle of the demonstration and start hawking my pamphlets. Here, ma'am, here, take this. You need a website? Here, ma'am. Oh, you look parched. Here, have some water. And I can't tell you how many customers I picked up just going door-to-door and walking into crowds like that. I took advantage of the fact that all those people were already congregated.
Ruby, and you know, that kind of intuitive, spot-on customer service is being reflected on the internet as well. There's a movement, and you were asking about some of the trends that are coming up. There's a movement called behavioral targeting, and they call it BT, like the acronym BT. And the whole idea is that instead of, you know, an ad kind of being intrusive and following, and, you know, we're kind of hoping that someone will land on your ad, basically. What's happening now on the internet is that because of tracking and archiving of user behavior on the internet, they can set it up so that the ad basically follows the person around. So like, you know, I'm sure Google has all kinds of data on, you know, every website you and I have ever visited, how long, you know, how much time we've spent on that site. You know, what keywords we use to find that site, the time of day that we went on that site, for example. So because of all this information that's been archived and recorded, they can essentially sorry about that. They can essentially have the ad basically follow the person around instead of you kind of you know, putting the ad on specific pages. When you go into a website, like say the New York Times, for example, I think has been doing this for several years, where they will sell marketers what they call sessions, where they're not just selling you a certain channel on the website, like sports or home or whatever, but they sell you a session. When that user comes into the site, no matter what page they come in from, into the site from, the ad will follow them around.
I tried to switch my phone service to a phone service actually that advertises on Blog Talk Radio. And I asked some questions on the site because it was quite interactive. And I can't tell you, it didn't matter what I did until I got that service. It did follow me around all over the web. It would just show up. Do you want this? Okay, we'll go away. And it was so pleasant and so polite in its nature.
Right,
do you want
right.
this? Okay, no, not yet. Okay, we'll go away. That finally, of course, I gave in, and not because it was so annoying or that it was in my face, but because they were so pleasant in that they withdrew when I said, no, not now.
And I
appreciate that. So does the public.
And I'm sure that the targeting was you know, really intuitive and precise. Like somehow they knew what you're based on your past preferences and your past behavior on websites. They kind of know what you're into. They kind of know what your preferences and your likes and dislikes are. So somehow, maybe, you know, maybe through registration, when people register on sites, you know, they kind of give their gender, their age, their zip code.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They know something. They have a better sense of what you're into. So, and that's the theory, that basically with behavioral targeting, you get the right ad to the right person. You know, you're not just kind of, it's even, I mean, the internet, it's already, you know, pretty well targeted. But now with behavioral targeting, they can really, you know, get that the right ad in front of you wherever you go on that site. So
the marketing dollar's not wasted.
Exactly. So you're seeing a lot more.
Very focused,
especially on the big portals. I mean, so you might wonder sometimes, you know, or the people listening to the show might wonder, you know, I went onto that site. How did they know I liked this type of car? Or how do they know that? So, and somehow, based on your past, the sites you visited in the past, somehow they know, they've been tracking. It can sound a little scary too, because it's almost like spyware in a way. Like somehow they, you're always going to have privacy advocates that are going to wonder, hey, you know, just how much of my online behavior is being tracked, and you know, so you have those kinds of debates. But for the most part, you know, if it's done tastefully and if it's done, you know, respectfully, I think marketers will be able to not annoy people and just kind of give you something that you're really interested in, like showcase a product that you're actually interested in, not just something that has nothing to do with you, you know. So that's the beauty of some of these trends that are happening on the internet, you know, behavioral targeting, geo-targeting.
Yeah.
Yep.
So again, Hispanic Digital Network, anyone who needs this type of service, anyone who wants to reach that Hispanic market, the number is 305. Get your pencils. 305-971-7989. That's 305-971-7989. And today we've had a wonderful hour with Bill Gatto, Vice President of Hispanic Digital Network. And we're going to close and say goodbye with the wonderful group that we opened the show with today.
Ruthie,
we're going to enjoy them again.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate Blog Talk Radio Syndicated News and for having me on the show. And again, Hispanic Digital Network, hdnweb.com is our corporate site, hdnweb.com. And
okay.
Like Ruthie said, 305-971-7989. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye, dear.
Take care.
Para Mayarí, dando centro voy para Macané, llego a puerto voy para Mayarí. Siento centro, voy para Macané. Llego a Puerto, voy para Mayarí. Siento centro, voy para Macané. Llego a Puerto, voy para Mayarí.
Para Macané, llego a Puerto, voy para Mayarí.